Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Vov. Now, you may recall yesterday that we were learning about the situation of Eved and the question of Tefillah, and we had various cases where Tefillah would be okay for, even if it's according to Ravasi, if she had been tovelas for Nidais, or maybe if a guy had been tovel for his carry, even though he was a tovel in front of Besdin, it would be a kosher gerus if it was a kabbal mitzvah in front of Besdin, as Tosfos understands it. Today, we're on the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis, and we discover that the concept of tefillah is actually dependent in certain cases on the intent of the tefillah. Because what we had yesterday is that this woman who was, the intent of the tefillah was to become tor from her nidais, was nonetheless considered to be a tefillah legerus. But that's because nidais itself is part of the kedusha of Yisrael. And even the case of the guy who wanted to become tor from his keri, that's part of kedusha. And therefore, it's recognizably part of the concept of gerus. But what happens, says Rav Chama Bar Guria, quoting Rav, what happens if a guy buys an Eved from an Oved Kochavim? And now this Eved goes ahead and jumps into the mikveh, and he has in mind, he wants to be a complete Jew. He does not want to be an Eved to this guy. So what's the din over there? The din over there is that indeed he becomes a complete Jew, and he was Koneh himself. And look, he'll have to pay the guy back, really, because he stole an Eved from him by jumping ahead and being Koneh himself. But he still is a regular free man. Why? Because the truth is that the guy who sold the Eved did not own the person. And we're going to see from the pasuk that a guy cannot own another human being. He can work with another human being, and the ownership that he buys from that person is similar to the idea of an Eved Ivri owned by a Jew. Namely, you have a lien on this person for the value of the work that he's supposed to be doing. That, yes, but that is not an ownership of the actual body of that person. And therefore, the most that he could sell when he sold this Eved to this Jew, who thought that he was going to be able to use him as an Eved, he could only sell what he owned. And all that he owned was an option on this guy's work. And that was a lien, but it was not the same thing as owning his body. There's no such thing as a slave trade among goyim. You can't own another person's body. And therefore, since this guy was not owned by the Jew, because the Jew didn't buy his body from the man, so therefore, when he jumps into that mikveh, L'shem ben Chorin, he canceled the lien on his own self for work. How do you cancel a lien? I'll tell you. Because Rava explained, the Omer Rava, Hegdesh chometz v'shichrur mafki'in midei she'ibud, that in a case where you have made something, you've put a lien on something. So this type of lien is called an apotiki. Apotiki comes from the word apo to hekoi. You make a specific lien against something, not a general lien. So like a mechanic's lien on a car. So this becomes the equivalent of an apotiki. In the event that you had some chametz, and you had given over this chametz as basically a guarantee for a goy's ability to collect, but the chametz was left in your house, the moment that it's time to get rid of your chometz, you have to burn that chometz. And it's mafkia, the lien. The same thing is true if you made something hegdish with kedushas haguf. If somebody else had a lien against it, he can no longer collect from it and it goes to hegdish. And the same thing is true of shichrur of an eved. If there was a lien against an eved for a loan or whatever the point was, if you are mishachrer that Eved, or if that Eved is mishachrer himself, the moment he loses his din of Eved, then all liens are off. And therefore, in this case, you could collect from the guy because he caused you this loss, perhaps, but you do not have a lien on him for his work. Motzi Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, this can't be true. Because, look, we know there was this famous woman, and her name was Beloria. Nice name. Movie star, actually. And she had become a Gioret. And, I mean, this was not just a movie star. This was a rich movie star. So she would go around with a full entourage of people that were working for her, you know. And they called them Avonim. Okay, so she's got a lot of pretty, pretty boys that she calls friends. This was Beloria. That was the Hotel California, was all based on the Maisa Beloria. Now, she came in, and she was planning on becoming a Jewess, dragging her whole entourage with her, but somebody had told the entourage the halacha, and they went ahead, and they jumped into the mikveh before she got a chance to jump into the mikveh. And that means she didn't own them, because she was a Goya at that time, who can't own the body, and they made themselves free men from Beloria. Ubama aser lifnei chachamim, and the chachamim said, it's too bad. Kono atzman b'nei chorin, they actually were kone themselves. And based on that psak, they had to take away the words from the song. We are programmed to receive, but you can never leave. And actually, in this case, it turns out that they got rid of her. Or, some are mefarish, we are programmed with this mikveh to receive in terms of Klal Yisrael, and therefore you can never leave to be taken back as an Eved by Beloria. But the bottom line was that all of her avonim were konu atzmam. Clearly you can't check out anytime you like. Come on. Not from Klal Yisrael. It's too late. So now, the point of our problem is that it says that this Maisa was paskin because they got into the mikveh before she did. But what if she had gotten to the mikveh first? Then it's mashma that since she was already Jewish, they wouldn't have been kind of themselves. And you're claiming that it doesn't matter if the guy jumps into the mikveh before his owner can take care of him and make sure that he's in the mikveh with a clear indication he's an Eved, he's going to be kind of himself. How do you explain that? Omar Rava, no. I can explain it very easily. If they jumped in before her, they didn't say a word, just as they jumped in before. They didn't say, okay, tough, Beloria, we're jumping into this mikveh in order to become ourselves. They don't need to say that. So whether they indicated that what they were doing was to become a full Jew or not, it makes no difference, because at the time she was still an Ovedes Kochavim. So, of course, what they were doing is that they were jumping in to become Gerim. But if they had waited until she became, then in order for them to be Kone themselves, they would have to say, look, we're going into this tefillah not because of Beloria, we're going into this tefillah because we want to be complete B'nai Chorin. Then it still would have worked, so there's no contradiction. Omer of Avia, lo shana leblokech min ovik echovi. Now look, let's just clarify this. The entire din is built around the fact that it starts with a case in which you bought a goy, an eved, from a goy. But suppose a goy sells himself. Now if he sells himself, you see, he can't own another human being, because there's no such thing as the slave trade. But if he sells himself to a Jew, you actually own him, because it says Beferish in the Torah. V'gam mibnei atoshavim hagarim imahem mehem tiknu eved ve'ama. So it says that you're allowed to buy the bodies of the people that are around you. That means you can buy them, but they cannot buy you, and they cannot buy each other, because the idea is that a Jew can own a human being, but a non-Jew cannot own a human being of any kind, not a Jew and not an Ovik Yechovin. Now, when you say, lo heim konim bikem, when we say, they cannot buy you, what do we mean they can't buy you? Do we mean that a goy cannot own a Jew even for his work, the way that they would own a goy? No, it cannot mean that. Because it says, Beferish in the Torah, that a goy can own a Jewish slave. And that, therefore, it must mean he owns the Jewish slave the same way he would own the non-Jewish slave, as a lien on their work. And therefore, he can enforce that lien, that they have to work for him. Because you can't say it means what you're saying. It wouldn't be true. Doesn't a goy own a Yisrael as a lien on his work? It says beferish in that whole parsha of needing to have geula and a relative should come and should be goyel. It says if the Jew was sold, ola eker mishpachat ger, and we said in the Braita that mishpachat ger means the member of his family who never became Jewish, and therefore it's referring to Ovid Kochavim. So a goy can own a Jew. There, and it says over here, you have to pay him. You have to buy him back. That's the mitzvah. But there's no din that we go over to him and say, listen, buddy, you can't own a Jew, even where we are empowered. So therefore, when we say in that pasuk that you cannot buy, it's referring to owning his body. And nonetheless, the Torah is saying, atem konim mehem. You, Jews, can buy them. They can't buy you. And it's clearly only referring to ownership of bodies because they can buy you for liens on work. And therefore, you see that it is possible to be kena the goof. How could you be kena the goof? By his selling himself. Obviously, if he tries to sell another guy, he doesn't own the other guys. How could he sell something he doesn't own? So it must be referring to the case where he sells himself. That's why I say that the cases that we paskened over there are talking about where the goy sold another individual that he owned, which is only a lien. Baruch Ravacha. Look, says Ravacha, I agree that it's saying in a pasuk that a Jew can be kena. But how do you know that it means that he can be kena with money? Maybe the kinyan itself only takes effect when he makes this person a real Eved. So he has to pay the money, which then buys him an option. What's the option? That he can put the guy into the mikveh for Avdus. How do you know that it means that just by paying money he owns him, and then the other guy would not be able to steal himself away? That's a problem. Kasha. Okay, I can't prove that. That's true. We do paskin this way anyway, but it's true that from the pasuk, a little bit of a problem. Omar Shmuel, now you need to know that you have to push him down. Tzorich letokpo b'mayim. You have to push him down into the water, because otherwise he can always claim that you were not the source of his tefillah, and that he was tevil on his own for the sake of becoming a complete Jew, and the fact that you were standing there has no bearing on his going to the mikveh. That's what he could say. So if you want to prove that you are the owner, you're going to have to actually force him into the mikveh. Now, that's what the simple words mean. Now, there's a bit of a problem with this, as the Rishonim point out, and that is the halacha in the Mishnah. We actually paskin in the Brayt, that's even worse, and we actually paskin in the Rambam like this. The posik, the halacha asers playing games in the mikveh. So anybody who jumps into the mikveh is considered to be mizalzel in the mikveh. And it describes other games, including a game where one guy says to the other, okay, you try to hold me down under the water, you know? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what you should do to the guy? Hold him under the water till he dies. Anyway, so apparently it's not considered to be a covet for the mikveh to actually push his head under the mikveh. Now, I must say, I don't understand why the Rishonim makes such a big deal of that. And say that therefore tukfa over here can't mean you push his head down under the mikveh. I mean, there's a big difference between playing games in the mikveh, which is a bizayon in the mikveh, and indicating that you're doing it tefila l'shem avdus in the mikveh. So I cannot claim to understand. Maybe there's some other issue involved in tukfa. Don't know. But anyway, all of the Rishonim seem to understand, even though the Balam Milchomais says Beferish Tukvo means Tukvo. No, the Meforshim on the Balam Milchomais say, we're going to be Cheshed that the Rabbeinu is talking about Tukvo when the Mishnah says, Osir Litkov, what are you, stupid? He obviously means Tukvo. Do something to indicate his avdus. So we'll see cases like that in the Gemara, that we do something to indicate his avdus at the very time that he's in the mikveh, and that will prove it. So that's while he's in the water is what it means. Tzorich l'tukvo, while he's in the water, is the meaning. Oh, for God's sake, I had to shut up this thing. Gosh, no idea who sets these things up here. Okay. And I'll tell you, like, what do we mean? Well, here's a mice, and you can see what it means. So Minyamin, who was a famous Eved of Ravashi, right? So he needed to be put into the mikveh. And Ravashi calls over Ravina and Ravacha Bereda Rava, and he says, listen, I need you to take this guy to the mikveh, but I'm warning you, you do it right, or else I'm going to sue you. That's what's going to happen. So if you let him jump into that mikveh before, I'm going to sue you for his value. So you better do it right, all right? So what did they do? They put a leash on him. Yeah, they went into a baby store, you know, where you put the leash on the kids. So they bought a leash, they put it on him, and then they threw him into the mikveh. And then because the leash was maybe a chatzitza, but the leash was easily adjustable, so they opened it up for a second to let the water get on him, and then they put it back on as a leash. So in indicating that they have him as a leash, that was certainly an indication that he's an Eved. The reason they had to loosen it is they had to make sure that it would let the water in. And the reason that they immediately made it tight again was they wanted to make sure that he couldn't claim that this was L'Shem Ben Chorin. And not only did they do that, but to make it absolutely clear to everybody, so when he got his head out of the water, they took a pail full of plaster and put it on his head, which weighed like 50 pounds, and they said, okay, get to work and bring this pail to your master. So that way they made it very clear that this was for the sake of Avdus, and he immediately acted as an Eved, and anyone there could report that we saw him be an Eved. Now, Rav Papa said to Rava, do you know that this guy, Papa Baraba, wouldn't have anything to do with me, would it? But anyway, people that grow up in the house of Rav Papa Baraba, the problem is that, you know, as time goes by, everybody gets rich around Rav Papa Baraba, because like I've told you for years, get into the beer business and you'll have a life, man. Okay, but anyway, everybody in Rav Papa Baraba's family is rich. So what do? When they need people to work for them, all they do is they go to the government records and they find out who did not pay taxes this year. Now, the din is that anyone who didn't pay taxes, if you pay their taxes, then the government gives you the right to use them as an Eved until the work that they do pays back for the taxes. So that's what they do in this family. They all go, and they've got these guys working for them. I mean, these are some of the top guys in their fields, you know. They've got computer programmers, lawyers, anybody who didn't pay their taxes, they're right there, and they're ready to take this guy. So they got the best accountants, they got the best programmers, everything. Best taxi drivers too, Mo. They've got the best of everything. So now the question is, they pay the taxes. The karga was the gugolat tax, and then they use them. And then now the question is, when these guys go free, was the status of their work, these were all goyim, so was the status of their work for the Jew, was that an actual avdut? So that if you give them a get shichrur, they then become kosher to marry a bas yisrael. So that would mean that it had a real status of avdus, or was it only a lien kind of situation. As the government allowed you to use them for work, but it doesn't mean that you owned them. Because after all, I mean, how can they give you something they don't own? Oh, so tzricha gita de cherusa olo. Do they need a get cherus in order to ultimately be able to become fully Jewish and marry a bat chorin? Because they don't get a get of cherus from their owner, they can never marry a bat chorin. Omar le, so Rava said to them, listen, iko shechiva lo amir lechua milta. I can't believe this. You delayed asking me this question. I might be dead. Now, if I'd be dead, how are you going to ask me this question, all right? It turns out the fax machines do not work in the grave. I personally am made, and therefore there would be no way for you to get an answer, although there are people who claim to get answers on faxes to the dead. Now, it's a good thing you asked me now, because that way I'm alive. Whew, that was close. Anyway, Hachi Omer Reb Sheshes. Reb Sheshes said in this story, that muhurkayu dahani betafsu demalkam manach. Basically, a real eved has got like a seal on him around his arm or on around his leg. And that seal basically comes from the king's own storage house. Meaning, if the government has decided that this guy is an eved, then he is an eved. This is not the same as the normal din in the Torah as to whether you can own someone or not. This is a din in Dina de Malchus Adina. Dina de Malchus Adina defines the relationship of everyone in that country to the reality of the Masav HaMatan in that country, including Jews. And therefore, since the government has the seal on these people, and since the government has decreed, Malka Omar, that anybody who doesn't pay their taxes has to be Mishubat, the person who does pay their taxes, that means this guy is a real Eved. And because of that, you're going to have to give him a get cherus if he is ever going to marry a Jewess. And there was also Maitre Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who came to Gavla, and he saw that there were cases over there of these Jewish girls, and they had gotten pregnant from these people they thought were kosher husbands. These were gerim who had gotten a brit milah, but they had never gone into the mikvah. And he also saw that there was wine that was kosher wine, but they had non-kosher waiters. They had goyim as waiters that were pouring water into the wine. Remember, they had to dilute the wine significantly in those days for it to be considered to be even palatable. And they would pour wine in, and they were drinking. And then they saw turmesin. These turmesin, these are these lupines, the beans on the lupines. Now is the time to go out to the fields and see the turmesin. It's turmesin time. If you live in Beit Shemesh, there's whole mountains full of turmesin. Now is the time to get the turmesin. And that's the reason that today's daf undoubtedly comes out on turmesin. There's also a very sweet children's book called The Lupine Lady. Anyway, so the turmesin, they would see that they were boiled up. These turmesin require a lot of boiling before they're edible. And the goyim would cook turmesin, and everybody would be walking along the street, 5 cents for a pack of turmesin, and they would be buying these from goyim and his bishalakum. Now, Reb Chiya Bar Abba did not say a word to them. He wasn't sure what the halacha was. He comes to Reb Yochanan, and he tells him over what happened. Rabbi Yochanan says, you go right back there and you tell them all these kids that they're having with these husbands that never went to the mikvah, all of them are mamzerim. And you go tell them that all this wine is yayin nesach. And you tell them that these turmesin are not kosher. They're bishul akum. They really are kosher, by the way. But these guys over there, they are not b'nei Torah. If you tell them, you give them a gavla, you give a guy from Gavla finger, he'll take a hand. You can't let him eat this stuff. You have to be machmer on them. So let's go through the different things. Rabbi Yochanan's first psak. The kids are mamzerim. This is Rabbi Yochanan l'shita tov. Because Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to see, was quoted by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba as saying that a ger does not become Jewish unless he both has a milah and a tefillah, and these guys never went to the mikveh. Okay, so he paskins their goyim. As of kimed alot tovil ovikochovim who? And so what? Because remember, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that an ovik kochovim or an eved abba bas yisrael the vlad is a mamzer. Therefore, according to my shita, on these two counts, you have to declare them to be mamzer. My second then that ayena. Mishum Yayin Nesach. It isn't really Yayin Nesach. Because since there never was any contact between the waiter and the wine, it really isn't Yayin Nesach. However, you will recall that when it comes to wine, we have a saying. Leich, leich, Amrinan Nazira. Hey, Mr. Nazir, around you go. Schor, schor, walk around the vineyard. And Lotikrav, don't get into that vineyard. The same thing is true over here. When they pour water on it, it moves the wine. In their mind, is there really a difference between moving the wine by pouring water or moving the wine by moving your finger in it? No. So therefore, we have to consider that to be stam yenam. So that's out. Now, the turmasim. The turmasim aser it because it's bishul akum. But that's only because they're not b'nei Torah. Otherwise, if they were b'nei Torah, they would be allowed to eat these turmasim. Why? Ho b'nei Torah shari? Didn't Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak say that only food that is eaten as it grows, it's raw. So kol ha-ne'achal k'mot shu chai, ein bo mishum bishalakum. If it's something that is eaten raw, there's no din of bishalakum. But turmas is not eaten raw. Turmas requires hours of stewing. So how are you allowed, if you are a ben Torah, how are you allowed to eat turmasim? Turmasim are not necha kashul chai, and therefore it should be aser mishum bishul akum. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say it's not really aser if you're a Talmud Chacham? That's because Rabbi Yochanan holds like the other lashon in Rav Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak. The Omer of Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Omer Rav, kol she'eino ole al shulchan shel bilachim le'echobo et hapat. There's a different version, according to which I don't care how much cooking it needs, if it's not the kind of dish that is fit for a king, then it's not considered to be bishul akum. Now, everybody that walks around the street buying these turmasim in these little cups, these paper cups, you know, that you take a piece of paper, you wrap it, and you put turmasim in. Now, that is about as far away from isn't that a dainty dish that's fitting for the king? No, it's not. And therefore, it would be an embarrassment to put something like that before the king. And because of that, ein bo mishum bishulei akum. And therefore, the only reason Rabbi Yochanan answered it is because these gavla people are not b'nei Torah, and they will not understand why you were being matir. They'll end up being matir real bishul akum. But ein achinami, if they would have been b'nei Torah, then they would have been mutter. Now that actually leads us into the issue of Geirut. What is the relationship between Mila, Tefillah, and Kabbalah's mitzvahs? Turn her up on it. Ger Shemal Velo Tava. So let's say a Ger gets a Brit Milah, but he didn't get to the mikvah. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, that's fine. Hareza Ger. Because, remember, on Pesach, how did our forefathers leave Mitzrayim to get to Har Sinai, where they left the state of being B'nai Noach and entered the state of Kabbalah's mitzvahs? Now, obviously, they had to become Jewish. How did they become Jewish? Well, we know that they all had a Brit Milah. It says so in Yoshua, ki kol ha'am ha'yotzim mi'mitzrayim, ki molu kol ha'am ha'yotzim mi'mitzrayim. That was the whole idea, b'damay chayi, the dam pesach, the dam milah, kol ore lo yochal bo. In order to have a korban pesach, they had to get a brit milah. But there was no mikvah around there, was there? Where did they get to the mikvah? So shekein matzinu ba'avotenu, shemalu v'lo tavlu. They all got a brit milah. We do not find any indication that they found a mikveh to be tovel, and so apparently it's enough to get a brit milah l'shem geirut. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer. Taval v'lo mal. How about the other way around? If he only did tefillah, but he did not get a brit milah. So Rabbi Yeshua says, that's also good enough. Hareza ger. I'll prove it to you. Lest I heard none of the women who left Mitzrayim got a brit milah. So, obviously you do not need a brit milah to become Jewish. And therefore it must be that they became Jewish through only tefillah. I mean, it needed something, as the Gemara is going to point out. You have to do some indication that you're going from one level of a Kedusha to this level of Yisrael. So they must have been teva themselves. So you see, without a mila, it's perfectly okay, because none of the women got a mila. V'chachomim omrim, taval v'lo mal, mal v'lo taval. I don't care what you did. If you only had one out of the two, eino ger, achimo v'yitbol. You need to have both, and we're going to see tomorrow what the logic is in saying you need to have both. Now, the question is, why does not Rabbi Yoshua learn out from the Ovis that you need to have a mila, and that's good, and Rabbi Eliezer should learn out from the Imahos that tefillah is good in itself? Now, I know why it seems to you to be a joke. You say, well, that's crazy to say none of the women got a bris mila. I mean, come on. How in the world are you supposed to learn out from women who didn't get a bris mila? They can't get a bris mila, for heaven's sakes. I mean, that's sort of, at least it used to be that way. Nowadays, well, we don't know what women are, according to the court. Maybe they can. I don't know. But basically, once upon a time, women lacked the necessary equipment to get a brit milah. And therefore, there's no way to learn out halacha in a case where something is applicable from a case where the whole thing is a joke and it's totally inapplicable. Obviously, they didn't get a brit milah. What does that have to do with men who could get a brit milah? That's what you're going to tell me, right? You're going to say, that's the reason that Rebbe Eliezer doesn't learn it out from the Imahot. Because ein danin efshar mishi efshar. You can't learn a case that is possible from a case that's impossible. Ah, there's only one problem. Rebbe Eliezer himself does learn things. Dafka about Pesach, how do you like that? Does learn things that are possible from cases where it's impossible. Because Rebbe Eliezer says, how do we know that if you're bringing your korban Pesach, you cannot use money of Meiser Sheni? You have to use completely chulin money. So minay in the Pesach Dorot, she'ein ba ela minachulin. Ah, I learned it out from Pesach Mitzrayim. The lashon of the Pesach is used on Mitzrayim. The lashon of the Pesach is used the Dorot. Vasita Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha. Ma Pesach amur b'Mitzrayim enu ba ela minachulin. I know that the Pesach in Mitzrayim had to come from chulin. How do I know? Because there was no such thing as Meiser Sheni in those days. So therefore, the only money that they had could only have been chulin. And therefore, Pesach Omer L'Dorot, Eino Ba'alam En HaChulin. Omala Rebbe Akiva, what? How can you learn out from Mitzrayim, where there was nothing but chulin? How can you use that to define a case when there is an opportunity to use things that are not chulin? Maybe it's different when you have another option. It seems to be an absurd limud, v'chi danin efshar mishi'i efshar, to which Rebbe Eliezer himself said, what's the difference? Alpha pishi'i efshar, it's still a great proof, and there's no reason not to learn from it, and therefore that can't be the reason that he doesn't learn out from the mothers at the time of Mitzrayim, because he agrees that you can learn out impossible things. As a matter of fact, he learns out 10 impossible things every day before breakfast. So what would be the issue? Bitav al v'lom al. So what's the real issue? The real issue is that bitav al v'lom al kulam lo pligid mahani. Everybody, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, they would agree that we learn out from the Imahot that indeed it is good, because the Imahot didn't get a bris milah. The only question is the other way around. Suppose you did get a bris milah, and you were not teivah. So over there, Rebbe Eliezer says, well, the males who left Mitzrayim, they also got the mal, right? So that means that milah is enough. We don't find that they went to the mikveh, whereas Rebbe Yoshua says, not true. Since we know that the mothers had to go to the mikveh, so probably they did too. That's all. So Rabbi Yehoshua, he says, the Avot also got tefillah, and I can prove it to you that they got tefillah. I'm not just guessing. Prove it? Absolutely. Because since it says by Har Sinai, it says, Lech el ha'am, v'kidashtam hayom u'machar v'chipsu simlotam. Before you get to Har Sinai, wash your clothes. Now, every time the Torah says, wash your clothes, in the context of Tahara, then it must mean that you had to wash your body in the context of Tahara. Always there's different levels of Tumah, right? So we say, he should go to the mikveh and wash his clothes, meaning go to the mikveh and put your clothes in the mikveh. So then if that's the case, if in a place where it says that you need to go to the mikveh and you're not metame begonim, the minimum that you have to do is put your body in the mikveh, even where you don't need to wash your clothes in the mikveh, b'makom she'ein ton kibus ton tefillah. So if on Har Sinai you needed kibus, obviously you needed the tefillah. Says the Gemara, do you call that a proof? Maybe the reason that Moshe said, wash your clothes, is the same reason that you tell your kids, put on a new suit because we're going to Har Sinai. It just means, but look good, be clean. Well, I didn't know it has anything to do with going to a mikveh, washing your clothes for the mikveh. That's nonsense. So, therefore, and the truth is that that is what it means, because the Targum is to be mechaver, your begotten. Mechaver means to wash in a washing machine. Does not mean to put it into the mikveh. So therefore, this is not a raya at all. So do we have a raya that they went to the mikveh? Yes. Elami hacha. How does Rabbi Yeshua know that the Ovis also went to the mikveh? Because it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the dam there when he's standing on Har Sinai, and he sprinkles the people with it. We have a Kabbalah that all Hazayah requires tefillah first. Ein Hazayah below tefillah. So there's no such thing as Hazayah without tefillah, and therefore everything makes sense. And Rabbi Yehoshua, how does he know that there was tefillah with all of the women? Just because it's a Svara. If they couldn't get a bris milah, then how were they boim tachas kanfei hashchina? So it must be that all they had available is going to the mikveh. We're in the middle of a sugya in which we found that basically we've got every possible approach to the relationship of tefillah and milah for geres. Whether milah is enough, whether tefillah is enough, whether either is enough, or whether both are necessary. So we got up to the psak in which Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Le'olam Eino Ger, Ad Sheyimo V'Yitvo. I think that's where we're up to, but if not, we'll review it again. So this is up from the middle of the daf. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot consider him a ger unless he does both, Mila and Tvila. Says the Gemara, isn't that obvious? It was the Chachomim who said that before. We just had an Omer Aleph. So always the halacha is like the rabbim. So pshita, yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. Says the Gemara, but in this case, the rabbim you think are a rabbim are not really a rabbim. The chachamim is actually Rabbi Yossi. Tanya, harei shebava amar, malti v'lo tavalti. Suppose he comes along and he says, look, I did do the mila, but I never did the tefillah. So what would be the halacha then? And here we're going to bring a raya that this is Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, what's the problem? Matbilino to Mabaka, what do you care? We, meaning the best, could go and put him into a mikveh, and that way there's no issue. Because we don't have to have any kind of proof that the mila that he did was done dafka for the mitzvah of Geirus. Even if it turns out that the guy is one of these, circumcising for purposes of hygiene, or whether he's one of the umays that go around with mila like the Arabs. But even if not, it doesn't really matter, because as long as he was tevo for the specific, in front of the president, he was tevo for the geres, that is enough alone. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, you do not do tefillah for him, because we need to make sure that the mila was also done L'shem the Geirus, because Mila is part of the Geirus. So that means that the Shita that says that you need to have both Mila and Tvila is in fact Rabbi Yosi and not a Chachomim, and it was just presented as the Chachomim, but Rabbi Yochanan, paskening like him, tells us that indeed we treat him as if this is Chachomim, but it certainly is not Shita. Anyway, getting back to Rabbi Yehuda. So since Rabbi Yehuda holds that either Mila or Tvila is enough, so because of that, Matbilin Ger B'Shabbat, if we have a Ger that we know had a Mila, and he did the Mila specifically in front of us for Gerut. So basically, he still needs Tvila. Everybody agrees you need Tvila and Mila both for the mitzvah. Remember, there's also other parts of the mitzvah. The Ger has to bring a korban when the Beis HaMikdash is built and so on. But those things, they are part of a mitzvah. The question over here is, what is ma'akev, right? So since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's important is really the tefila, so if we know that the mila had been done properly in front of Beis Din, so he didn't do the tefila yet, you can do the tefila even on Shabbos, and that means because we're not really achieving anything essential with this tefila. Remember that you're allowed to be tevil in a mikvah on Shabbos as long as you're not being mitaken something. So in the event that somebody is being tevil for his tumah and so on, fine. So that we say, look, it doesn't look like he's necessarily doing something like that. He may be just going in for a bath, you know, and or to cool off, whatever, depending on the season. But the point is that you're not really making a difference to him, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you already have a kosher geirus, so this is just like an additional good thing for him to have. But according to Rabbi Yosi, since we saw that Rabbi Yosi says that we absolutely do need a tefillah in order to have a kosher geirus, because of that, we will not put him into a mikvah on Shabbos, because that is considered to be the tikkun of the geirut, and that completes the geirut. And so because of that, we cannot do it on Shabbos. Because of the gezerah, obviously, like anything that seems to be a tikkun is a gezerah because of tikkun mana. But anyway, we see from here very clearly that Rabbi Yosi is the one who is called a chachamim, but it's really a das yachid, and Rabbi Yochanan had to paskin like that. Now, let's just take a look at this business about lefichach matbilin ger b'shabbat. Now, isn't that rather obvious? I mean, like, what do I need you to point that out? If Rabbi Yehuda said that either is enough, so I could do either Mila or Tvila, so then if the case over here was that the guy had a Mila in front of the best, then, so then obviously it was perfectly okay for him to be put into the mikvah on Shabbos, since that's like a hashlama, but it's not a real tikkun to make the difference between Kedushas Yisrael and non-Kedushas Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, not necessarily. Because how do you know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mila and Tfila are the same? Maybe what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is that when a person appears in front of us and he was already Nemo, so that's what you're assuming. But maybe it was because he really holds that Tfila is what is necessary. And since the Tfila is necessary, so then I can't do the Tfila. Because that way it's going to be a mitakin gavra. It's going to look like tikkun mana because he's fixing the guy. Kamash malan to Reb Yehuda, oha, oha, boy. Therefore, we want to make it very clear. Reb Yehuda is a shita on his own that says either or. And they're both sufficient completely in themselves, either mila or tvila. Which means that we've basically presented all of the possibilities. Mila is sufficient. Tvila is sufficient. Both are necessary. Either are sufficient. Those are the shitas. Everybody agrees that, of course, la mitzvah, what we want to have is everything and whatever we can possibly have. Rabbi Yosi. Now, Rabbi Yosi says, but we cannot do this on Shabbos. Well, obviously, that's also doesn't need to be stated. If Rabbi Yosi said that you need both Mila and Tvila, so it's obviously usher to take him to the mikvah on Shabbos because you're being mitaken. We know that we're not allowed to be mitaken things, so that's exactly why we can't put in kalim in a mikvah, because we're being mitaken mana. So what's the difference? Well, if we hadn't spoken it out, I might have thought that according to Rabbi Yosi, not that you need both, but that actually the main thing is the Mila.
And that case that we had before was because the guy had not done the mila in front of us. But in the next case that we had in the Brisa, where he was nimo bifaneinu, so maybe over there Reb Yossi would be made that it's an extra, it's a plus to put him into the mikveh, in which case, maybe even according to Reb Yossi, we could be tovelim on Shabbos. Kamash malan, de Reb Yossi tarte poi. This proves that Reb Yossi is the one who says that we need both, which was Reb Yochanan's psak. Omar Rabba, there was a maisa in the Beis HaMedrash at the house of Reb Chiya bar Rebbe. Reb Yossi adds, we have to know that Reb Hoshaya bar Rebbe was there. And Reb Safra adds, and you have to know that Reb Hoshaya bar Reb Chiya was also there. Now, the reason that this is important is because it turns out that because of these additions, we learn out that you actually need three people as a bezdin. So each one of these additions is making it clear that it was essential that we have all of these people over here. Anyway, there they were, and this guy comes, and he was mal, properly, in front of a bezdin, but he had never been tovel yet. So Reb Chiya bar Rebbe said to him, look, if you wait till tomorrow morning, we'll take care of you. So we'll get you into a mikvah. From here we see three things. First of all, we see, Shema Amina, that you need three people there, because we find that Reb Safra had to add to make sure that we had all of them there. So that is one thing that we learned. And Shema Amina, Eino Ger, Achi Yimo, V'yitpo. We also see that you see from here that it was absolutely essential, they felt, that you need to have a tefillah. We can't 100% prove that tefillah itself would not be enough, but it's a mashma. We certainly do need the tefillah. Okay, so the mashmaut is that we certainly need a tefillah. And since they said, wait till the morning and we'll take care of you in the morning, so you see from here that we do not do the tefillah at night. And why don't we say another thing? Because every single one of the people that gathered here in this story was actually a bezdin. Each one of them was roy for a bezdin of mumchin. He was, each one of them is mamish, a dayan, that is roy to be a dayan. There's a whole question of your mumchin is a reference to requiring smicha. So, as Tosfos says, we do geiris bizman hazeh the same way that we do dinim in Bavel, because shlichut tayu ka'avdinan. We are acting on behalf of the bezdin of smuchin that gives us the right to do things as long as we're bekiyim in dinim. So that would be the meaning over here also. Do we conclude that, in fact, it's absolutely necessary to have mumchim? Says the Gemara, well, you can't prove that you need it. You could only prove that there were. Dilma de iklu. Maybe it happens to be that the people that were here, that were all mentioned, are actually mumchim for the din. But you cannot prove that it would have been absolutely necessary for them to have been mumchim in the first place. Omer b'chia barava, Omer Reb Yochanan, the basis of this halacha is that ger tzarich shlosha. We know that geris requires a bezdin of three people. How do we know it? Because we know that the pasuk insists on viewing it as mishpat. So it says mishpat echad yelecha v'lager. And we'll see later on that there's another pasuk that the Gemara brings that tells us mishpat. So some machlokas over here about which mishpat the Gemara is referring to.